that was ordained of the Lord. We have been praying, and it culminates, it ends on the 8th of this month. Yeah, March 8th. So next week. When it ends, that's when our chosen gathering will happen. So, Pastor has been talking to us about the coming of Holy Spirit, the Damascus Road experience. In Acts 2, we have the Pentecost experience. That's when all the disciples were up in the upper room, and they were praying with one accord. And then the Holy Spirit came, and they were transformed. And it almost seems like instantly they were transformed all of a sudden, like it just happened. But they were very strategic in what they were doing. They were praying. They had done everything else. They had walked with Jesus. They had seen him, experienced his death, burial, and then resurrection. Now they're up in the upper room, mostly because they were afraid of what was outside that room, and they were in there praying. They really didn't know what to expect. They just had that sense, kind of the way we get the sense of something happening, something is about to happen. So they're up in the upper room, they're praying, Holy Spirit comes, the fire of God comes, it lands on each of their heads, and they began to speak in tongues. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, submerged, overtaken, overwhelmed, covered over inside and out with the Holy Spirit. First time that it happened to anyone, in as far as we read in the Bible, that submerging came. I believe it was on Adam and Eve as well during the garden, but it doesn't talk about that. But they were all, we're going back rather than going forward, going back into being what we were created to be. Then Pastor has been a lot on Acts 9, the Saul on the road to Damascus and how he gets knocked off the horse. He bumps into Holy Spirit. Or Holy Spirit bumps into him, knocks him off the horse, he's filled, totally transformed again. We're seeing in the Bible, in Acts, more to me, more than a bunch of miracles, we're seeing a transformation of the people of God, a birthing of the people of God. This is when the church was birthed. We now have access because Jesus died on the cross and rose again with our name on him. And now we need to come into partnership with him. So now Holy Spirit comes on the scene, and he brings us in by overwhelming who we are so that he now can make us into this new creation. So now let's go over to Acts 16. Now remember, all these things are going on. Paul awakens. Now all of a sudden, Paul is born. He comes into the scene. He's this powerful man before Holy Spirit, except he was powerful for the wrong team. And now he's a powerful man of God, and even more powerful because now he has a presence living in him that he didn't have over here. So over here, all he had was flesh and his God-given gift of being powerful and mighty on the inside, a man of authority, a man who could walk into a room and govern it in 2 seconds. I always think of Pastor Steve with that because he's a born leader as well, right? Some of us are just born to lead in a certain way, in demonstrative ways. And I see Paul in that as well. Paul's very, some people might think he's a little harsh, you know. So the next time you view a brother and sister and they're a little harsh, call him Paul. Just say, you got a Paul in there who's coming up. So Acts 16:20. This talks about when Paul and Silas were in prison. And you guys all know the story. I want to get through as much of this as I can, so I'm going to go quickly through some of it. But they're brought, I'll just read starting 20, and they brought them to the magistrates, those are the guys in charge who make the laws, and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive and or observe. Then the magistrates rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw him into prison, meaning Paul, commanding the jailer to keep them, meaning Paul and Silas. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, get this. Paul had cast a spirit of divination. This was his the thing he did wrong to get into prison. he delivered a woman who had been operating in divination. She was a fortune teller, but she was making money for the people who, kind of like a pimp does with prostitutes. You know, these guys were her pimp, and she's making money for them by fortune telling, and now she doesn't have that gift anymore because that spirit was cast out. So they get in prison because of this. The people agreed. All the people, it's as if Larry got up here and said, Becky's done this horrible thing to me. I think we should put her in prison. And all of you guys say, yeah, let's put her in prison. So they're all in, everybody's in agreement. So deception and accusation come, and everybody then gets touched by that thing, and now they're all in agreement with it. So Paul and Silas, now this is going back to this little scripture that I read. They tore off their clothes. The people, the magistrates, whoever they had in charge, tore off their clothes, meaning naked, and their identity. Their identity had been switched. Now they're open. They were beaten. That means they were worn down. Do any of you feel worn down right now? Like all hell is coming against you, and you are worn down. Now, put yourself in this place. Pastor's been sending meditations, and in all of them, he says, now, view yourself in this, or see this, meaning your imagination has to kick in. View yourself in this. You are torn down. With these guys, it was physical lashings, but with us, it's more mental. Physical and mental strength was removed. They were put in the inner court of prison, meaning there was no light there. There was no windows. We're talking solitary confinement type of enclosure, right in the middle of a building rather than the outskirts. Nothing. There was no light for them at all. Their feet were bound, meaning they had no forward motion. They could not go forward in their walk. They couldn't walk. They couldn't move. And the jailer watched over them. He was guard over them to make sure if all of that failed, like it did with Jesus being put in the tomb, then he was there to keep them in it. So they had no way of escape. Oppression was guarding them. The spirit of oppression was guarding them. Many of us are experiencing the same thing right now. So we're in a good place, aren't we? We are in a good place. Because without being bound, without being afflicted, without being any of these things, without being charged against, without being lied against, we cannot get free. Because then there'd be nothing to get free from. So think of your situation in a place where I am prime material for freedom, for a breakthrough, for Holy Spirit to come in power. Okay, so in our 40 days that we're doing right now, this is our preparation time. It's kind of like the upper room time right now. We're in prayer right now for this kind of stuff that came to Paul later. We're in preparation of the Holy Spirit receiving his reward for stirring us up to the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Isn't that what happened in the upper room? They were stirred by the Holy Spirit with the same power of Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The resurrection of the dead awakening to the realness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have had a form of the gospel of Jesus Christ because without the demonstration and through our lives, we are experiencing what we read about, correct? I mean, we can talk about Jesus and we can preach about Jesus. We can even go out and try to do the stuff about Jesus. But if Holy Spirit is absent in all of this and it's all about nothing, because nothing that originates with man can be empowered by God. God empowers God within us, but he's living with us. We just realized that during communion. As I was taking the elements today, I said, oh my gosh, this is my remembrance of the Godhead, Jesus Christ and his Spirit, Holy Spirit, with his Father inside of me. And if I am not experiencing that, then there has to come an appointed time where I am so submerged in Holy Spirit that that takes over who I am. I am no longer one who professes Christ. I am now one who demonstrates Christ. You know, Pastor Steve gave us a saying about ourselves. It said that we would know God experientially, that we would know God, meaning that brings his knowing us Our knowing him brings his knowing us. How do I know God? I get into his word. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the word. I get into tongues because I'm praying now in my heavenly language. My brain is out of the way. There is no flesh that can come into that because now I am just praying. Holy Spirit is praying through me. Exactly what the Father wants to hear and needs to hear. And we need to hear. Our spirit man needs to hear. That's why they say when you pray in tongues, you're edifying yourself. You're building yourself up, your spirit man up, because your spirit knows what you're saying. Your head doesn't. But the head for a while has to get out of the way so spirit man can rise up. When that brings us to knowing him, how do we know him? Because he flows through us. If I have a baby inside of me, every time that baby moves, I know him. I know, oh, there he is, he's moving. This is what he's doing. That's what he's doing. When Holy Spirit is inside of us, when God is inside of us, we start knowing him. Why? Because now my spirit man is rising up. I am becoming stronger in faith. I am becoming more connected by the Spirit than I am my head knowing about God. Have you ever gone somewhere and you go to a conference or something and they're talking about God and you're just, oh, that was great. But you come out and you're no different? It's because your head got edified. Your emotions got edified. But your spirit man is sitting there. Come on. Connect. Let me connect. It's our yielding flesh, yielding our mind, yielding what's going on up here in our reasoning to the Holy Spirit inside of us. And I'm beginning to understand in a greater way, because I've increased my praying in tongues time, that the only way you can know God is through the Spirit. And sometimes when we think we're in the Spirit, we're not. We're just in this euphoria thing. But euphoria is great if you're a mystic. And I ask all of you, be mystics. Be those who just spend hours with the Lord, meditating on him. But praying in tongues can get you to that place. It'll awaken. It'll strengthen. All of a sudden, you're listening to something, and you're saying, huh, where's God in that? I'm looking for you, Lord. I'm looking for you. And all of a sudden, you hear him in a sermon. You hear a word, one word, whatever. And all of a sudden, something comes alive, and you go, there you are. There's a connection. I know him, and I'll know him when I hear him, and I'll know him when I see him. And I'll know him when he's in demonstration. But unless I know him, because I know him in here, when somebody's talking or a song or whatever, you're looking for him. Where are you? And you start calling on him. Come on, Lord, breakthrough. And when he does, you know it. And now, bang, there he is. There's my lover right there. Let me go running to him. It's kind of like Song of Solomon. You go running to him on the inside, spiritually. And it's not an emotion. And it's not a feeling. It's not a tingling. It's not a warm feeling. It's not any of those things. Those things are separate. It's when your spirit man knows, there he is right there. And the person may not have said anything that they haven't said 10 times before, but that day your spirit was able to catch what he said. And it's, I got it and I ate it. This is for me. Then you're changed. Because God came into the scene out here. The God in you grabbed onto him. You ate it. It became part of you. And now you carry that seed that you didn't have before. And now it can be watered. And then God can produce fruit from it. So then the other thing he said is, the knowing God experientially that brings us knowing, him knowing us, which results in him demonstrating himself. Jesus Christ can demonstrate himself anywhere he wants, anytime he wants. He doesn't need us. But there is a time, like Paul in prison, where on purpose God will demonstrate when I open my mouth, because he's given me all authority. I have the authority within me. It's only the authority is not up here. I can't dictate to God what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, or to whom he's going to do it. That doesn't happen. The authority comes here. You know, you all know the stories of Smith Wigglesworth, how when his wife died, he said, oh, no, I don't give her up. I command her back. And she came back to life and said, what are you doing? I don't want to be here. I want to go. Right. So he was able to say goodbye to her, and he said, okay, then I let you go. he permissioned her to come back and to go. Who has that kind of interaction? Those who know him and who have him knowing you on the inside. Those who operate and demonstrate God in their daily walk, not just on a platform, not just in a room somewhere where you're praying for somebody. Those things are great, but we are supposed to be walking epistles, walking in the demonstrated experiential power of the Holy Spirit on a day-to-day basis. Why? Because God himself lives inside of me. I am his temple. Therefore, the temple of God has to look different than the temple of Muhammad. There's got to be a difference, because there is only one true holy God. And it's the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And where do they have residence? Inside of each one of us. And if we aren't experiencing that, we will. Because I believe that's what this thing is. He's telling us. He's telling us, Dan, you are chosen. I have chosen you. I picked you. It's not that before that you weren't chosen of God, but now experientially, I'm calling your name and I'm changing your name. And I'm coming inside of you and breathing a life inside of you that you have professed most of your life, but to this day has not experienced it the way he's about to experience. We keep talking about this awakening. What are we awakening to? How many of you have heard that term so many times you're sick of awakening, because you wake up, one eye still has the sleepy dust in it, and you say, well, okay, I guess it's not time, I'll go back to sleep. I did that this morning. But it was, and then I was late. But this is how we are in the spirit, isn't it? It's like, okay, I just went to a conference and I heard this great word, supernatural power, yay, yay, yay. Do you honestly think that if supernatural power on earth, as it is in heaven, if Jesus Christ himself had to go through, if Paul and Silas themselves, if Peter, if everybody you read about in the Bible, if they had to go through, do you not think that we don't have to go through? Jesus paid a price for us, access, an open door, a way to the Father. He did not pay for every little pleasure that we want, that up here our soul wants. I want my kids to be healthy. I want to be healthy. I want lots of money so I don't have any bills. I want a house that is all totally paid for. I want. All of us wants, but tomorrow we'll want something different, whatever's in front of us. But there is a wanting of the Spirit of God within us that says, I want my church on earth to be what it's supposed to be. Amen. That the glory of God would be manifest on earth as it is in heaven. See, on earth as it is in heaven is a cute saying. It's a wonderful saying, and it's a true saying. We've watered it down to say, on earth, I want to get everything and be the most important, and I want to have the biggest ministry, and I want to have, when I lay hands on somebody, ooh, you know, they're going to go down. Why? All for my own glory. Because I want to be the head honcho in a department, whether it's prophecy, healing, whatever it is. I want. And God's saying, wait, I got to kill the I want in you in order so that you can actually have it and it not destroy you, because God wants us to have those things. We were born to be the bride of Christ, except we don't have our head on straight. We haven't had our head on straight, the head being Jesus Christ. But now the head is coming on because Holy Spirit is putting it on himself. Instead of us trying to fashion this mannequin head we've made, calling it Jesus, and say, wait, here. And then we wear the hat like on Halloween, you know, we get dressed up and wear a hat. See, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. See me like a little kid at Christmas wanting to be Superman. I'm Superman because they have a costume. Wait a minute. Superman has to go through a whole bunch of stuff before he's Superman. And he's got to go through some testings and trials. Are you willing to do that? No, I just want to go get candy. That's all. And I want to run around the house and I want everybody to pretend I'm Superman. That's what we do in church. But there is only one Superman, and that's Super God. And there is no Halloween costume for the church of God.
There is nothing that we can wear, or put on, or do, or say that's going to activate that in us. It's only by the Holy Spirit and His election. And I believe that at the end of these 40 days, this is what this 40 days is for. It's preparation. It's separating the wheat from the chaff within our own selves and saying, come on, this doesn't belong in the kingdom, that does. Strip it. Get over it. Move it. Have you noticed the meditations and the scriptures that are coming? They're moving us closer and closer and closer. They're in progression, if you notice them. They're moving us into a place we have not been here before. And God is saying right now, I am moving you by my Spirit to whomsoever will. First, this is the will, right? Mind, emotions, will. The will has to say, I'm willing to bow down. I'm willing to lose my place. I'm willing to give up my self-elected position of being in charge. This part has to die. This part, my spirit man, has to be resurrected. And saying, I'm sorry, spirit man. I've knocked you down because I can't see you. I can't feel you. Therefore, my emotions can't move you. Nothing I do or say can move you. You're only moved by the voice of one. Not me, not this one, but the one who dwells within you. This is where we're heading right now. There is a true awakening for the body of Christ that's coming, a resurgence of faith that is unlimited. Why? Because it's His faith, not ours. My faith has limits. My faith has, yeah, but what if? Or, well, I don't know. Who knows when? Oh, it's God's timing, all of that. Is that what Paul said in the prison? Well, maybe it's not God's timing. Maybe I'm just supposed to be here. Absolutely, he was supposed to be there. But he was there for the glory of God. Have you ever thought of something? That if they put Paul and Silas in prison, if they got them there, and then Paul and Silas got out, Holy Spirit came, the shackles came off their feet, the chains came off of them, they were put in their right mind. Even the guard himself took them to his house to feed them and reclothe them and clean them up and heal their wounds. Do you not think that if they had that ability, that they could have prevented themselves from going to prison in the first place? Of course they could. Just like Jesus walked through the crowd and they didn't take him. They couldn't recognize him. He just walked right through them. The ones that were ready to stone him or kill him, he walked right through them. These guys could have too. So can you. Because you're full of the Spirit. And that transition, that transaction that's happening right now in these 40 days is about to culminate. Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you been yielding? Has your will said, let me stand back. You, Lord, go. You do what you need to do in me. I give up my title, my position, the way I look. I'm supposed to be, period. I'm supposed to be this or that or whatever. You're willing to give all that up to look like a fool, to look like you're going down and not coming back up. To say, if I give up, I might not get my position. Sister Sally Sue may get it instead. And how dare she? But when you have the King of Glory experientially, do you think you will care about your title or your position or what Sally Sue is doing? Or anything else. No, you're going to care about taking care, about the worship that comes from a different place, not a song that I sing and I get teary-eyed because it just touched me. What you're saying is, I got emotional in that thing, but it didn't really do anything for me. Now, we're saying, let him inside of here come into a place and bring you into a place of worship that most of us have not experienced before. That's when we know He's inside of me. I know Him. I know His movings. I know His breathing. I know what He likes and what He doesn't. I know when He's offended. See, for a while there, many people were getting hung up on, oh, I hope I don't commit the unpardonable sin. But I have said that laughing is not of God, and now it's unpardonable, so I'm going to hell. You'll know. You will know. You will not be able to be deceived anymore by the enemy. There'll be no deception. You may not look great. You may look feeble on the outside. You may look feeble in spirit, I mean in body, maybe even in soul, but you will not be feeble. That's what it means. There is none feeble among us. That's in the spirit, man, because our spirit is strong and mighty and powerful because it has spent time getting to know him and be known by him. See, when we are known by him, he knows. He has not only access, because Jesus Christ made the access way, but he has the experiential himself, the experiential time with you that he now can do anything he wants through you, knowing this one will not get a big head from it. This one will not come out of prison and say, look what I did. I better start a church. I better start a ministry. I better write a book. I better go tell everybody so they'll know. I better get a following. If any of those things, and be honest with yourself, look at your own lives. I'm looking at my life. If any of that is within me, that's all about nothing that will burn up. Wood, hay, and stubble. God's saying, what are you doing for me? And the only thing we can do for him is what he tells us to do for him, what he puts us in position to do for him, and what he does through us. It's not about us. Therefore, the accolades don't go to us. That's when you can say, I'm in prison. I can now worship you because I am not in prison. Nobody has imprisoned me. I am so free. I don't care if they dig a ditch and put me in the basement of the ditch and cover it over with cement. I am not buried. I am alive in Christ, and therefore I am able to operate as one who has freedom, as one who is not bound. Chains on my hands, what's that to God? Shackles on my feet, things people say about us, do about us, all the deceptions, what is that to us? When we see things rising up in Iraq, and we see that all these people are going to be killed or whatever it is, do we panic? Go, oh, no, no. Or do we come inside and say, Lord, what would you have me do? He says, I want you to pray. You come into church, you pray from God's perspective, not from ours, by the word of God, by faith, and you know that you know that you know the thing was done. Done. Now, what would you like us to do? Oh, now I want you to go home and make dinner for your husband. Okay. The same level. One is not more important than the other. Whatever God tells you to do is what you do, and you then are knowing him and him knowing you. There is that unity of brotherhood that also is coming. The unity, the real unity, because I can't connect with Larry. I'm just using Larry because he's my friend and he knows me, and I don't mean anything by it, but Larry might have some issues. I know I do. He doesn't want to be connected to my issues, and I don't want to be connected to his issues. But I can be connected to him in a way that my soul can't connect. I can be spirit to spirit connected by the Holy Spirit. If this were the Holy Spirit and I were touching this and he were touching it, we're connected. No mess there. There's no mixture there. We're both touching by God. God is the one who melts us together. God is the one who we connect with. Therefore, there is no mixture. There is a brotherhood in the body of Christ coming. And that's not a gender thing. It means man. Man is coming together with God in a way that will not only connect us inside of God and God inside of us, but brother to brother, sister to sister. There is a connection coming that cannot come except by the Lord. We can pretend and we can act nice, and you can always tell when people... it was years ago, and I would be with, I remember one time coming to a store, and Marilyn was there. And back at that time, I was still getting over a lot of, I needed healing, inner healing. And I remember going over to Marilyn, and she probably doesn't even remember this, but, hi, Marilyn, how are you? Oh, you look so great. Oh, I'm so happy to see you. Blah, 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 blah. Marilyn said, oh, hi, Becky. And that was it.
And I walked away from that meeting. I says, what was that all about? It wasn't that Marilyn did something wrong. I was looking at me. I'm supposed to be like that. I want to be real. I didn't feel all gushy-gushy and, hi, oh, I just love you, my sister. I didn't feel any of that. That's not even me. I come from East LA. We don't do that. But yet I noticed that was the start of me noticing something's wrong with me. I want to be like that, where it's just normal. You just say hi to a person for real. And there was more love in that than definitely there was in my end, because my end was all phony, pretense. So God's not looking at the outside. That's not the brotherhood connection. If you guys do that right now, get with God. He'll clean you up of that gushy stuff that's unreal, that's pretense. He'll make it real for you so that when you do see a brother or sister, you're not running the other way. That's my brother, sister. Come on, let's lock arms. I'm for you. Okay, great. Let's go. That's real love. So careful with the flattery. Flattery can mess you up. It's a deception. Also, another thing that it'll look like is the multiplication of souls. When Paul and Silas were in prison, when they got out, the whole town heard about it. Who's these guys? I'm kind of scared of them because they're operating in things. Are they magic? Are they? The world will always turn it to try to be something they can figure out, something they can label, but it can't be labeled and it can't be figured out. The things of God will not be labeled or figured out. So I just want to leave you with this. In talking about those 40 days and the body of people who are chosen, we're chosen of God to be his house, to be experientially moving by his spirit, to not be in 1 minute and out the next, to not have 1 foot in the door and 1 foot out here. He is taking the elder brother law out of us, all of us, and bringing into a manifestation of the power of grace. There is a grace coming where we will start operating in real grace without mixture, not from here, because I can always say, no, it's by grace. And I mean it. But until it's coming from this place, as it hears the Lord, as he speaks, and his word is coming out my mouth like a roar, like a lion, because it's him, then I don't know grace. There is an experience of grace that's coming. A letting go that we've heard about, we've all given mental assent to, but many of us are still holding real tight. And God is bringing that. He is opening our hands. This is what I believe 40 days are happening. I just want to give you an example of something that I've watched, that God has given me the privilege to watch in this church grow. And that's with the young people, the 18 to 40-year-old group. There's been a progression of that. For those of you who are newer to our church, God raised up a small group of people right now. The people that were the ones that were not only forgotten, but they were also put down. I remember myself cursing them by saying, oh, there's nothing for young people at our church. Yeah, no wonder so-and-so is going over to that church, because there's nothing for them here. That's a curse. And I heard that all over the place. This is what we were saying, because with our natural man, we didn't see a lot of young people for a while here. God's turning that thing around, except he didn't do it suddenly. It didn't start with the internship. It really didn't. Years ago, God raised up a group of people led by Pastor Stephen Cammie, that we had the prayer circle over on that side, and they started praying. It was on their hearts, and they were praying for that age group. After that one ended, the Lord ended that one after several years, then he started another one called Fins, for your namesake. What was their target? That age group. They were praying for it.
Then he raised up a group called Project 216. That one was led by Gino. That one was for that age group. And they came together for a season. Then God caused one of the people who had been there from the beginning in all the prayer meetings and Project 216 to go to somewhere else, another city, to get trained up and then to bring it back. During that whole time, prayer had been going up, prayer. This church supported that person. This church gave prayers, money, time, everything to get that person trained. You didn't know that by doing that, you were in this process of what God was doing with the young people. Had nothing to do, had very little to do with the actual person. It had to do with the train God had already gotten out of the track, and it was going, and it was him doing it. Then that person gives up everything, again, comes back and leads the internship with Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve never got it out of his heart. Remember, he and Cammie started it at the get-go. They never got it out of their heart. So now the intern's happening. Now all of a sudden, I understand we have an international student in there. Now we have people still joining it. They're close to 40 strong now.
Hallelujah.
We had 40 days of prayer. We had last Sunday, they took over every aspect of the services. And the Spirit of God was there. I saw young people, these young people that had been prayed for years ago, preaching by the Spirit. The fire of God was in it, both of them. I saw a worship team that was led by our sound guy. And everybody's saying, I didn't know he could do that. Yeah, that's right. Evangelistic treasure hunts have been started by Rob. Rob came and spoke at the internship, got them all excited, and now he's expanding it. The young people are coming out of the woodwork. They're becoming prayer leaders. I've heard some of them pray, and I go, oh, I don't need to open my mouth. There's God right there. You know that, where's God? Easy. There he is right there in that young person. We have a young intern in our office staff. I've never known anybody who was so organized and who knew all the software, exactly what we needed, and who had the persona for it. We've got preachers, teachers, evangelists, prophets. I mean, we got people up here that can prophesy every single thing, what you ate for breakfast. We have one that's a youth leader who came up here and was giving the message on last Sunday. And we have children's ministers that are now back there working with the children. Tell me God didn't have all that planned. And he's not done yet with our young people. In your life, the area where you feel you've cursed it with your own mouth. Oh, man, I never have any money. Oh, they're going to go eat. I never have this or that to go with them. I don't have any friends. Nobody likes me. Or how come they don't pick me for doing something? I got all this fire in me and nobody recognizes it. I should be up there. Or I'm just getting out of here because that church didn't recognize me, so they don't have love in them. Cursing ourselves. Go home today and figure out, where have I been cursing myself? Where? Because that's the place God is going to rise up within you. And the power of Holy Spirit, if you let him and partner with him, will arise in that place. And you will see what we're seeing here with those we used to curse. You will see a transformation. That's the word that's coming. The transformation of us individually bringing the corporate transformation. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Marilyn's going to come up and lead us in nations prayer. You know, some of us prayed on Saturday for a nation, and I invited them to come to prayer. That's Wednesday, Marilyn?
Wednesday
5 to 7, they pray for nations. So if you have a heart and the Lord is telling you to come, that he wants you to intercede for nations, then do it. It'll be a hundredfold return for that nation and for you and for this church if you obey him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.